אוקיי, אפיזוד 54.
מה קרה על העברית שלך?
אפי, today we are trying a new thing. We are doing an episode in English.
טוב,
and
אני
we
הולך.
And we have a special guest that doesn't speak English for the sake of trying this. So we are in episode 54 and it's 24 episode past episode 30, which was a great episode.
Oh, yeah.
And we have Effie here who studied all day long in order to participate in this episode.
Yes, it was
say
very
yes.
Yes.
No.
No.
Right. Good. And also, we have here Matti Offliger, right?
Yeah. Perfect.
Answer me in English. Like, so, intro in English, and then you're like, ah, I speak Hebrew fluently. We can do an episode. In and we have also Jackie Interter, right?
Shalom.
Hi. So, and today we want to speak about air.
Right.
So Matti came from Swiss 3 years ago.
2.5 years ago, yes.
Yeah, and you're 42. And you're working with the survivors of the sex industry, right?
That's correct.
Perfect. So thank you for being here and taking time speaking with us.
It's great.
It's a pleasure to be here.
It sounds like a challenge that I don't know about anyone that took before here in Israel. That's why we heard about you and said we must interview, because it sounds very, very interesting.
Yeah. And please notice that we are much more polite when we speak English. I mean, if it would be an episode in Hebrew, we would be like all over you. So, yeah. Can you give us like a few sentences about what AIR is doing?
Yeah. AIR, as it stands for, I'll begin from the beginning, A-I-R, Gam Avir, like Avir, AIR.
Okay.
And it stands for Act, Inspire, Restore. So, very simply explained, we act upon the social injustice of modern-day slavery, people being exploited in the sex industries of our countries, and we inspire by coming up with a solution that we believe is a real solution that has a future. And by doing so, we are restoring people's lives, but not just restoring people's lives, the products that we chose, that we are manufacturing, it's also restoration, because it works like that in the English language, with restoring mm-hmm. materials and restoring mm-hmm. people. It's where in the environmental, we are recycling, upcycling, and creating value. So that's AIR, Act, Inspire, Restore.
Usually I would ask, how come you took such two big challenges on you? You have also the population that you want to work with, and also the environmental thing. One is not enough.
Maybe I'm just too naive.
No, but seriously, it's a big issue to take them both.
It's a very big issue. And the more I get into it with my team, right, Jackie, the more we're realizing that it is a big challenge. But because it's a big challenge, we realize that we truly are getting inspired ourselves, and we are inspiring others, and things are moving.
Okay.
Can you please just elaborate a little bit more, Matti, please, about the products? Like, what are you selling?
So the first product we began with initially when we wrote our business plan here in Israel, and we started off and we're busy with right now, is we are exclusively working with European shipping pallets, mishtachim, but the European ones.
Mm-hmm.
They are being brought in by a lot of Israeli big companies like L'Oreal and others like that. So it's a resource that is in the country, and it's a very good wood. And we realized that in Europe mainly, there is a trend producing these stylish kind of industrial furnitures using these pallets. And we realized that no one else is commercially really doing that. So we figured out that would be a therapeutical work on the one hand for people who need a job. On the other hand, it's you can create some really cool stuff. So that's where we started. And these are the furnitures that we are producing on the one hand.
Okay. So you say, you came to Israel and you said there is a lot of mishtachim that no one is doing anything with them. Maybe they sell it one to another. And you said, I want to do furniture with this mishtachim. Okay, this is true?
Yes and no. We came with a very clear vision with our organization that my wife founded a few years back. We knew we wanted to create a solution. We want to be part of the solution, among others, to create jobs for people at risk, for that specific group. And we had a whole list of topics, of ideas, of business ideas. But when we came here, the first 8 to 10 months, the only thing we did is build relationships, partnerships, and we did a market analysis. And we ended up saying, we will start with this.
So you're not a carpenter. You don't come from this area.
I'm a mechanical engineer, but both of my brothers, Yoel and Emmanuel, they are both master carpenters, and I have a few friends. One of them, Benjamin, he's a vice champion in Switzerland. So when we started the business, these guys came along and helped us with their advice.
That's a big help. It's a huge help.
Absolutely.
So let me see if I got it straight. So you're working, you have a, like, your business model is the designing and selling refurnished
right, yeah, upcycled furniture or crate furniture made from European shipping pallets.
And in terms of like branding, are you high end products or are you like commodity, or where do you position your product, like where do you sell, what are your distribution channels?
Our distribution channels, well, it's always one thing, as we all know, if we do business, is the business plan and the marketing plan, mm-hmm. but then comes reality.
Yeah.
And when reality hits you, that's a different story.
Okay.
That's, you know.
But what did you believe in the beginning, in the plan?
The plan was a very, it was a multi-leveled plan. On the one hand, we were focusing on private clients. And on the other hand, we knew that we would be going B2B, looking for business clients. And now that we have become operational and we are making productions and revenue, we realized that actually it's taking a bit of a turn more towards, correct me, Jackie, if I'm wrong, but we're realizing that we need to go more and focus more on business customers. Mm. Client right now is Eden Teva Markets. Mm-hmm. So this is a first big one that we have. And so it's giving us a bit of a hint in which direction we should be going.
Which product do they sell? Eden Teva? Do you sell them like it's
the
B2B2C?
Furniture, or? It's furniture for them.
It's furniture for them?
Yes.
Got it.
They are opening two new markets, one in Kfar Saba, one in Ashdod. Mm-hmm. And they saw our style and they realized that this is exactly what they want. So their architect or interior designer came to us, and eventually we got a deal, and we're building for two markets right now.
Wow.
Sales points. Yeah.
Amazing. So this is, I think we got the sense of what are your products, and then the social cause is working with people from the survivors of the sex industry.
Exactly.
And they're working for you, and they are actually manufacturing the furniture, right?
That is right. I think what is very unique, what all of you guys should know, which is exciting to us, but it's also very challenging, is that the key people on our team are social workers. Let's take the example of Yonatan. He's our main social worker, but he's also the production leader. Mm. So he's not a carpenter, but we trained him.
Okay.
And the work is simple enough. If it gets complicated, I will step in or others, but the production is actually happening by social workers who know how to manage the people if they're weak. And that is the stretch. We have one leg here and one leg here.
Amazing.
It's that's the new thinking behind, which is the challenge.
Yeah. Amazing. And so what is like the scope of your business? How many people are working for your business right now?
So just to give you a big quick backdrop, we actually really started operations productions in May last year. So since then, we now have 9 women and men who have, I'm not talking about our team, but actual employees, but they're all part-time. None of them are 100% because they cannot work 100% yet. Mm-hmm. So it's averaging between 30 and like 70%, let's say, of employment. And they come in during several times of the week, and we all have an exact, every person has a supervisor. So every worker has a social worker supervisor. So we have nine, and then four of us are volunteers, but we're full-time volunteers. We're American, we're German and Swiss, and the rest of us are Israeli business people. Jackie, who's here today, Yonatan, who's as a social worker on the team, and Nadia, who's joining right now as a social worker, to give you an idea.
And your business pay also for the social workers, or the or your partners from the non-profit organization in Israel, they are paying for them?
It's a very cool question. The goal is to have the business profitable enough in the future as a model that it can cover all the costs.
Also, right? Also the social
that worker. Would be the dream. That would be the dream. But that means we need
the
a very strong
I'm doing
product.
Are because it's very, very difficult.
I know. I know.
You take a huge challenge on
I know.
You. Okay.
I tell you, it is. I'm telling you here, I can, in German, you would say, I'd pull down my pants and be really honest with you. It's extremely difficult.
Yeah.
Right now, we are covering many of the costs still through the Amuta, through the donations. So our challenge is to be strong on the one hand, on the NGO side, on the fundraising side, and at the same time, develop a business that is profitable.
Yeah,
those are the two challenges we have.
Do you have a number that you say that you know that if you will reach this number of sales, you'll have enough money to survive without donations?
That is a little hard to say right now, because we have the furniture, which is beginning to take off, because we now invested in a marketing and salesperson. Jackie's here with us today. And on the other hand, we're starting a second line of products, which is a very different one, the Kite Pride I mentioned before, that is upcycling kites, which has not an Israeli focus of clients, but has more of a mainly international one, because it's very light and easy to ship. If I take those two things together, and we're working on the business plan right now, mm-hmm. we believe it's possible to make that happen. To cover all those costs, but not right now.
And the number again, what's supposed to be the number of these two businesses of sales?
I don't know, because
it's more than million shekel, more than million dollar.
Like. Yeah, no, definitely more than a million shekels. I've invested maybe 1.4, 1.3 million shekels since the 2 years I'm here with my own money and family and friends and everything. But now we're at a point where we're beginning to make revenue. So this, in the last 2 months, we have doubled our revenue in the furniture since we have a sales marketing person. And we're really coming up, but it's not enough yet to carry all the overheads.
Okay.
So you don't have cost of goods, right? Because you get everything, you collect everything, all your materials, you have a cost of goods.
Most of them.
Yes, we buy the pallets, because remember, it's not that we're getting hand-selected, high-quality wood pallets. Mm. So we pay for them, but we're paying, it's a cheap material, not a cheap material cost, but it's a good business model.
Yeah.
In the sense of...
how much is one mishtach today to buy?
I'll give you the, because they come no. from Europe. Okay, they're built in Europe.
Effie is coming from the industry.
Yes, that's really why I'm asking.
I'll tell you straight. They're built in Europe. So I know that the price right now, last week in Switzerland, was about 25, 27 Swiss francs, which is about 100 shekels. About 100 shekels. And here it really depends where you get it. But it'd be around 35 to 50 shekels. So you can see it's a big difference.
Yeah.
But it's not the mishtachim we used to see throwing on the street.
No.
It's different ones. So.
Exactly.
Okay.
You need to know where to get them and hand select them.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you have a small market in terms of your both the social market. Mm-hmm. You showed us before that you have 120,000 people, or 12,000 people, sorry.
12,000 according to government statistics in Israel right now.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So and also you have like the number of mishtachim that's coming to Israel is, I guess it's like, that's your market, right?
Right.
Got it. So I have another question which relates to the population that you work with. and this is I guess challenging specifically in this segment. Mm-hmm. So when you work in the sex industry, you used to earn, at least this is like the, you know, the image, I don't know much about it, but the image is that you earn a lot of money, and then moving to like a regular job and earning much less, like within a day of work you earn what you earned in like in a week of job, you are in a week of working, you get only like what you got for an hour or 2 hours. So how can you help people
rebuild their life?
Yeah,
such a change
to tackle this gap. How do you convince people that?
I love your questions; they're mm-hmm. amazing. It's a huge topic. Let me think this straight because it's a very large topic, and we've been in it for a long time. There are a lot of. First of all, I need to say there are a lot of myths connected to
the sex industry.
A lot of myths. I have government statistics that are on our website which show you the facts. The truth is that yes, in escort service you can make a lot of money, but the reality is in the area where we work in South Tel Aviv, there are women selling their bodies for 30 shekels.
Wow.
So and they are close to dying. My wife is serving some of those populations. She's watched a few of them die in the past few months. There is a huge gap between the range of where they are. The other truth is that many of the women and men in the sex industry, they have to pass on their money to someone who's pimping them, or the people who are managing the apartment they're working in. So at the end of the day, they're not left with much.
Mm.
The other big problem is I've met personally prostitutes high end in Las Vegas who've been earning $1 million a year, and they ended up completely broke. Why? Because in the cycle of prostitution, almost everyone has PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder. You're serving 20 to 25 clients a day. You can only do this if you are consuming alcohol, drugs.
A lot of alcohol and drugs.
So the money there's a person in our business now earning money, real money, clean money. She told us this. She said, listen, I am so proud. It's such a new feeling to earn money, even if it's less. Hold it in my hands because I'm proud of this money. It's clean money. Mm. I didn't sell my body for this. And it changes the psychology. When you have those 200 shekels in your hands, I'm saying now,
mm-hmm.
you look at it as something valuable and you don't want to get rid of it. She said, the same money I held before, I felt dirty. I wanted to get rid of it. And so it's destructive. You go and you spend it as quickly as you can. But when you're earning clean money and you're proud of it, you become responsible.
Yeah.
You save it. You invest it. And that's the psychology behind it, which is very interesting.
And I guess it's a process. It's a journey. It's not like a one-day enlightenment that you get 200 shekels and then your life changes. So what kind of support do you provide other than work? Like, how do you... Where is the starting point? Like, how do you mm-hmm. get the women or men? And where do they start from? Like, and what kind of support do they need at the beginning? I guess it's a journey, it's a process. So the support that you get in the beginning, it's not the same that you get after a month or 2 months and so on.
So the key value that we have behind the business is we say we don't want to profit from people. They've already have experienced that. We want to profit for them. That's not just economically, it's offering... like a family, consistency, a continuity, somewhere where they have something to stand on, roots. So when we don't go look for them in the sense, we don't go on the street, we don't go on, you know, Tel Baruch on the beach and pick them up. We choose to work with partnerships with government agencies. So if Levinsky Clinic or Salit, LM, they have someone in their program who has been rescued, who has come out, and they're ready for the next challenge, the job, but they feel weak, they don't know where to go, they will know, AIR is a place we can go to. So that's how they come to us.
Okay.
So they do have certain stability already. They have an apartment, maybe they have a room, maybe they're staying with one of the organizations, they have a social worker, and then they come to us for the whole, to face the fear of the job monster, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And... that's where we then come in and support them very realistically.
It's amazing. It's exactly like we said in the podcast, like how to work with partners and let them do the, to find the population and to bring them to the place of the social work and not do all the cycle all by yourself, because you can't do it alone.
It's very hard.
You need to be professional on what you're doing and focusing.
Now, one thing I must ask, is it a social business that want to have a person for a period of time and then to have another one, or do you want to have someone for a lot of years? What is the model?
I love the question. That's exactly the question that the women and men themselves ask us.
Yeah.
We had one woman ask us, we read, somehow she found a statement that we wrote on the internet or during the phase when we did the business plan. She said, I read that. This is like a place maybe for 2 years. And she got scared.
Tachanat ma'avar. Okay.
She got scared. And it's true that we don't want to promise them a job till they're Saban Safta, you know?
Yes.
But we want to make them fly.
Okay.
So if they need a year and they find something else, which
it's
is even
okay.
better, we'll celebrate them. If they need 2 years or three or four, we won't kick them out. We will try to make them be strong and reach the...
It's a beautiful answer and I love it, but how do you make a business plan with it? Because you know that to take someone and make him a carpenter, it takes you 2, 3, 4 months.
Right.
And you invest a lot of money of them.
Right.
So how do you, in terms of the business, how do you see it as a model?
Based on the role models, from where I come from Switzerland, there are many social businesses. One of them is Stiftung Wendepunkt. It's a foundation with 800 employees. And the leader and the pioneer is a friend of mine. He trained me. And all I can see is how they're doing that.
Okay.
So that gives me hope to understand how the scenario could look like in Israel, because it's a similar setting.
Yes.
But look, to be really honest with you, I wish I could look back to 10 years and tell you. Here we are just talking about the past 10 to 11 months. So from all the people who came, the around 12, we still have 9 or 10. Two had to leave because of personal issues, which I can't talk about here.
Of course.
But we can see them growing. We can see them feeling comfortable and becoming more stable. And I'm telling you that because one woman worked in prostitution for 30 years.
Wow.
30. It's the first time she has a job outside of prostitution. She's 50.
Wow.
Every day she tells us, this is my last day because it's so hard for me. But every day she comes back.
And how much time it took her to be a Yeila, to be someone that really
productive
for you?
This specific woman from you're laughing, Jackie. This specific woman from all the 9 is the one that is very hard. She can almost not take a scissors in her hand and cut straight because she's never done anything else. It's unbelievable. But you know, we found one spot for her. She's amazing with cooking. She cooks for the whole team every lunch.
Great.
Wow.
She helps us clean up. She goes shopping. So we give her a little budget and we put the money in her hand. She cooks and everyone's happy. So she's contributing in an amazing way.
Okay.
And as a next step, we're now training her to start looking into the process of
the
production chain, of Kite Pride, of the fashion label.
Okay.
מי
שלא הבין, אני מדבר בעברית, יש כאן שני עסקים, יש עסק של רהיטים ועסק של תיקים שעשויים ממפרסיות של קייטסרף. קצת קשה לראות את זה, אנחנו פה רואים תמונות על המחשב, אז אנחנו עוברים פה ומדברים על שני עסקים במקביל. תודה, סליחה.
Such a weird language you speak.
Yes, I know.
Okay, so let's skip to again to the business side of things. So I wanted to ask you about like the partners in terms of in terms of business. So you spoke about the Ed and Teva market. What other partners or what other distribution channels do you see or do you work with already?
Jackie, do you want to share about our clients?
Well, partners and clients aren't the same thing. So if you're asking about clients, then we are growing, you know, as we go along. And but like Mati said earlier, that finding the right clients are kind of partners. So working with people like distributors or designers are people that we do kind of partnership with. So we have designers, for example, who do these big projects and then they come with their ideas and we collaborate with them. So it's kind of it's kind of a 50-50 thing, and we would love to see them as partners. They really like the idea, and it's they get enthusiastic, and that's kind of what, you know, in terms of business, that's also what we want to do. We want people to be enthusiastic and get the actual product that they need, but also to be, you know, to be part of the social impact. And so that's one thing. On a more of a business partner side, working with different, actually, except for Global Act, who is, we don't really have partners, or we work in front of, like Amati said, Salit and Elim and all these organizations.
Yeah, of course.
There's a few people that are supporting us, maybe more, you know, like JIJ, who they do a lot of work in terms of working with prostitution, and we help each other with more information, and we're trying to do more and more things. But in terms of business, I think our clients, more of the business clients, the B2B clients, we try to actually treat them as, you know, really get them enthusiastic, and so they'll think that they're partners and doing, you know, a bigger thing, but they're really clients.
Yeah. So what would be your ideal client? Like, it sounds like the Eden Teva market is it's a great deal for you, and it's like taking you to the next step. So is this the kind of a client that you're looking for, like kind of a chain or a retailer that needs ongoing furniture, and you can provide
exactly
them? That would be like the sweet spot, right?
Right, exactly. As soon as you have a customer that gives you consistency in orders and sales, that helps a lot, because you can, you know, from a business point of view, you can calculate, and it gives you a clear a direction. Again, we started with a vision, then came the provision.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We started developing products like, you know, no one has done before, I believe. Some of our stuff is really unique. But by doing that, we had to find, or we are finding, our identity and what do we do best, what are our real strengths. And now first customers are coming along, and it's a good time right now then to figure out and work toward a real business partnership. I mean, it could be one of our products could be something, you know, Beidili or, you know, Castello. I don't know. Anyone could take.
Yes.
Or of course, because we're very creative in our team, we can always do custom productions. But when you're out there and you're, we had this wonderful article on Xnet 3 weeks ago.
Beautiful article. We need to share the link of the article.
We
always forget to do it.
Never share links.
Okay.
But anyway, that article, I think, shared the story very well. And once there are clients out there who know, okay, air, that's what they're about. We are willing to pay a little more maybe because of the social cause, but we'll get something unique. That's the ideal partner.
What about the social affair ministry or the municipality of Tel Aviv? Are they involved also?
We are getting them involved, yes. The whole battle of Arnona and all these issues, we realize that they had difficulty understanding what and who we are. Are we an amuta? Are we a business? You know, we've got mom, but we can also get reduction for our owner. We have this galeria and there's a big fight. Like, you know, can we... frankly spoken, we were paying too much. But yesterday we had someone there from the area, and our lawyer is also working on it. I raised some funds and paid him. So he's speaking to the area right now in Tel Aviv, and I believe there will be a solution. But, you know, every square meter you need to fight for until people understand, this is what it's about. So we have hope.
In terms of social funds, not the business part, the social funds, like support from the municipality.
Not yet.
Nada.
Okay.
But you have, you said before we started to record, you said that you have an amuta,
right,
and you have a business.
Right.
So you can, the amuta can do fundraising.
Exactly.
In Israel.
Yes, that is correct. Again, the amuta, or let's say the Swiss NGO, the partner or the mother, we began with that. So 90 to 95% of all the funding for this came mainly from Switzerland.
Okay.
And now that we're here and people are beginning to understand what we're doing and things are becoming visible, now things are beginning to develop also within Israel.
I'm jumping from question because I'm like, my mind is like popcorn, and I'm thinking like, so in terms of like, you have the,
sorry, no, hope it's not my mistake.
12 service users, right? Like 12 beneficiaries. So what is the, how many are men and how many are women?
We have, I guess, 70% women and 3% men and transgender.
Mm.
Okay.
70 and 30, right?
70 around? And 30.
Yeah.
Yeah. And in the, in general, in the industry, my guess is that women are like 80, 90% of the industry.
Yes. Let's say, are you talking about Israel, specifically Tel Aviv?
Yeah, from your experience.
Worldwide, it'd be interesting to see statistics in Tel Aviv. I'm surprised. I think the reality, I did underestimate. When my mind, before I got into it in detail, I thought it was a lot more women, but actually there are quite a lot of men involved as well.
And in terms of age?
The average age of a person in Israel entering prostitution is between 13 and 15 years old. So it's 1 year older than my oldest son, Leron.
Mm. Wow.
Between 13 and 15.
And in terms of like Arabs, Jews, religious people, and people from other countries?
We, in our, I'll just give you a reflection of what is inside our business. Mm-hmm. We have the majority are Israeli Jewish, but we also have, we had one from the Arab side, and we also had a refugee, two actually. So it's mixed also.
We had three Arabs.
Right.
And two refugees.
So,
I think, to be honest, like...
I don't know where to start, because it sounds so complicated.
I think it's that, like, the... I feel so sad when I hear you. I don't know why. Like it's the, like it's the most sad episode for me ever. Really, like it hurts so much. That like the, I don't know. It's so, and you're living it day in, day out. Like and you're taking it home, and you have a relationship with those people, and
right.
Must be not that easy.
Yes, I quote always. Unquote.
But it's very fulfilling. Look, I know it's sad. Can I say something just really short?
Yes.
Yeah.
Last Thursday, Yom Chamishi, I was in the production with one of our people, and she was sewing this kite, a very colorful, beautiful Kite Pride bag, and she's amazing with it. And she said to me, when I got out of prostitution, with all the difficult balagan I had, every time I wanted to get in a job, I was very often depressed. I was so depressed. Life was so heavy for me. So many challenges. I gave up and went back. I couldn't. I went back into my old habits. She said, now for the first time, when I think of the work of the productions I'm doing here with you, it brings so much joy to me that it gives me energy to come. And when I'm here, it brings up more energy to me that I can go home and actually face the problems that I used to run away from in the past. Yeah. And it's beginning to help me for the first time. And I'm telling you one thing, that's the feeling that comes up inside of me to hear that. It's the same as when an investor comes, when you're financially in trouble, and an investor comes and says, look, here are $500,000. The feeling is kind of similar, because it's so great to hear that what you're dreaming of is actually working and people are telling you that. So it's sad, but it's also beautiful, because it's meaningful. And when you go home, you're happy.
You make me happy.
Really?
Yeah, but what the reflection of what, like, the people, the population that you work with is a reflection of such a sad thing in humanity in general.
That's why it's good we're talking about it.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
So people understand that we are fueling a economy of exploitation of a sex trade that most people don't think about.
Yes.
You know?
It's in our backyard.
That's right.
It's in our front yard. Nobody takes responsibility over it. Mm. Yeah. That's the truth.
What I heard around the episode that you need a very, very large pockets to get into it, and you have the non-profit organization in Switz that helps you.
Right.
I know I'm in the same business. I mean, carpentry and boxes and exactly. everything. And I know you need a lot of sales.
Yeah.
And I wish you all the luck.
Toda.
And I really, really hope that the people that listen to us will do the connections to a designers, to a... I thought a lot about a lot of clients during these episodes and you need a lot of help because what you're doing is very, very important. And until the welfare department at the Tel Aviv municipality will know how to treat you, it will take a lot of time that I really hope that you will still have air to live.
Right.
And it's amazing. I really wanted to talk to you with you after the episode and think about all the ideas I got.
Amazing.
During it.
Yeah, I think... adding to everything that Effie said, but I think that one of the challenges when you move to another country is that you don't have the network that other people have,
right.
Like when they're born in the country and so on. So, yeah, please use our network. To,
thank you.
Wow, thank you so much for being here, Jackie and Matti, and thank you for being in Israel. I think you're doing like a mitzvah with what you're doing. Like, it's really, really, really inspiring. Yeah, we wish you the best of luck. I think we survived the
yes,
English episode.
I don't know how many people left us yeah. in during the
how many yeah
you guys were amazing.
Thank you, and thank you Marcial for listening to us. Next episode is in
French.
Shavua tov. Bye bye.